you kind of invented this spoken word art. I don't know if you invented it, but...
I don't think so.
You don't think so. Okay, you can tell me why. My question was, what was the reason? I mean, aren't you able to sing? I wouldn't say so. You are not able to sing?
Well, I've got a very limited... I have a very limited... I know my limit when it comes to singing as such. And also, the text is really the core of my part of the work. And plus, I've always had a huge love of language and of oration, you know. I mean, I love great speeches, great orators, people that can really hold a public or an audience through words, through language. And I mean, especially a lot of the kind of black... I mean, I think that if you want to talk about who invented the kind of spoken word and music thing, I think you have to look to the black culture a lot more, you know, maybe with the hip hop, but before that with a lot of the jazz musicians and things in the 50s and things. There's been people doing it for a long time. So
you like hip hop music?
Do I like hip hop music? To be honest, I like the idea of it, but often the content of it I find very unpalatable, you know. Some of the subject matter, or the way they deal with the subject matter. But saying that, there's some wonderful hip hop stuff too. So I really kind of filter through it, you know, and choose stuff. But I'd rather listen to Martin Luther King or someone like that than a lot of hip hop stuff.
And is it possible that you inspired other musicians to do the same, to do this spoken word thing? I think of the band The Streets, you know them?
Mm-hmm.
They're from Britain. Or Art Brew. Art Brew? They're also English?
Yeah.
Art Brew?
I don't know them. Art Brew. But I don't know. I don't know if I can't say, you know. I mean, I think it's highly unlikely that I've inspired many people in the UK, seeing as they can't really deal with what I do. They don't understand what I do, which is even stranger in a way, because coming to countries where English isn't the first language, yet the people have a real liking for it or curiosity about it, and that is very strange for me, to be accepted in foreign countries but not really in my own country is a bit strange.
Your roots are in London, in the working class scene. Did you make bad experiences because of that? So maybe did you have less chances in education or something like that? Because you left school at 16?
Yeah.
Was this your decision, or was it a pressure from environment, your parents?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of ingredients. You know, my lack of interest in school, the school's lack of interest in me being there, my parents thinking that, basically higher education is for a different kind of people. I don't know if I made bad experiences. It depends what you're judging it on, you know. If you're judging on whether I'm an academic or a scientist then it's bad. But I think I gained a lot of other experiences and education from leaving school so young. So I don't really, I can't view it as bad. I mean, of course, there's people with more privileges and more possibilities, but like I say, it's 30 years down the line and I'm still doing what I love to do, and that's a great thing, huh? You know, there's many people with good educations who do jobs that they hate, you know, and have careers that they don't really love, so I don't see it as negative.
Mm-hmm. But would you say that music or art is a way to break out maybe of the circumstances,
I think,
or like a place of utopia where everybody's equal and free, and maybe a little bit anarchy also?
Yeah, I think there is that element to it, but I mean, it depends again what area you want to talk about, because unfortunately in Britain still there's this huge class system there, and of course you have it in other countries too, but it's very much in the culture in Britain. And I mean, I think rock and roll music going way back, or even before that, blues music, whatever you want to call the roots of contemporary music, it comes from the streets, for want of a better word, you know, from possibly poorer areas and poorer environments. But yeah, like with most things, the middle classes make it their own. They steal everything and make it their own, you know. So I mean, you have a lot of musicians and bands and people pretending to be very working class and very on the street when actually they're not, and that I find a little bit bizarre, really, a bit strange. But I think that's really a British thing, and it doesn't really bother me personally so much.
Then you moved within the punk scene and the do-it-yourself movement. What are the connections between do-it-yourself and later the dark wave you were in?
I guess it was like a kind of refining, I guess, of it. I mean, you had the real anarchic, explosive energy of punk rock, which really shook all the foundations. And again, I was very lucky to be in an area, growing up in an area, living in an area where that was going on. I mean, where I lived, or where I spent most of my time, is where, you know, The Damned, Susie and the Banshees, Generation X, all these people were around in that area at that time, so it was very fortunate, really, to be there. But then I think after the explosion of the new of the punk thing, then you had a refining of it, you know, and I think a lot of the new wave, or whatever you want to call it, kind of took the energy of punk but tried to take it a little bit further, refine it a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm sure this will make sense.
And now you move, or after that you were in this dark rave scene, and it's electronic. Wouldn't you say that there was a scene? I would say so.
Well,
maybe with
scene,
Depeche Mode and The Cure. I don't know where The Cure within
they,
that scene.
Yeah,
you know,
but
I've never
consciously tried to fit myself into any category. You know, I really don't like it to categorize things or say this belongs here and it doesn't belong there. You know, I mean, music for me and all art, all creative things should be for everybody, you know, whether you're into a dark wave or you're into classical or whatever. It's about communication for me, you know, and that's for everybody.
Yeah, but I think that people, if they go to your concerts, they mean especially your music and your sound and what you have to say, and it's not everything you play. So they also really like your music, and in the 80s they liked this electronical stuff, mm-hmm. after the rock and roll and the Beatles and I don't know what. So this was a special thing for the whole generation in the 80s.
Yeah, but
so
now
this is a category, if you want. So
yes, it is. But I mean, for example, tonight, the concert we're going to do tonight, the material in it ranges from the quietest, most minimal, semi-classical stuff to the hardest, heaviest electronic stuff. And in the audience, I believe, I might be wrong, but I believe there'll be people who are 50 years old, there'll be people who are 20 years old, there'll be a mixture, you know, yes, I think that's coming from the fact that I have worked for such a long time in music and the loyalty of the audience in Europe, you know, that, I mean, it's really true now that people that used to come to concerts 20 years ago come with their kids now, and it's like, wow, you know, it's such a wonderful feeling to be able to do that, you know, that to really cross these boundaries.
Yes, when you started your music, I was born. Don't
Not
be sad
real.
About that. It's the truth. Have you also been part of the techno scene in the 90s in London?
To be honest, I really lost a lot of interest in electronic music in the 90s. The 90s, 2000, right up until 2 or so years ago, I really moved away from it because I didn't like the technology of the time, and I didn't like the flatness of it, the leveling of it. It for me, I couldn't find any very exciting things in there, so I really moved away from it and went into more classical and jazz and acoustic music. That was really where I spent the 90s. And then a couple of years ago, I think, with the development of the internet and the possibilities of what you can do online, I really started to search again within it and have found some wonderful things. And really, that's where this project, the Past and Future Tense project, came from really surfing through the internet and discovering things and people.
So you also like that technological evolution, and that everybody can do his or her own music and spread it for free?
Yes, yeah, I do. I mean, I think it's wonderful that the record companies are finally being given the, how can I put it, the treatment they deserve, really. I think it's way beyond time that, you know, artists had a lot more control of their material, and at the moment the internet allows that. I think, of course, the music industry is very quickly trying to get a hold of that and control that, but I think, yeah, there'll always be ways now with technology to keep a little bit more control over your material. And yeah, I do. I mean, of course, you know, there's lots and lots, and there's so much stuff everywhere, but then you have to really look for it. I mean, if we all relied on the radio or the record stores, which there aren't any left of anymore, hardly anyway, then we'd all be listening to about 3 or 4 different artists, you know, and that's terrible, you know, that really is awful. You switch on the radio and you hear the same material rotated over and over and over, and it's... So I think overall the internet has really liberated not just musicians but the public as well, you know.
But do you think that there's repetition again and again?
On the radio or on...
In music in general, in electronical music?
At the moment I think there's a lot of interesting things, and like I say, I think there's so much stuff there, but you have to, one has to make the effort to really look for it, you know. If you're what I love about, I don't know, even Amazon or iTunes is you check something out and it says to you, oh, if you like this, maybe you like that, and it links you to other materials, so you're always discovering new things or have the possibility to discover new things, which is great. I think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about your lyrics, and especially in your biggest hits. So in the beginning, it's Our Darkness.
Sleeper in Metropolis.
Thank you. I know it by heart normally, but not. And Wally's, what a hit in the US. Especially the first two, Sleeper in Metropolis and Our Darkness. It's about life in cities. What I want to say is that you has as a main topic this opposite between human being, machines, nature, technology, city and landscapes or rural life. And in your cases, this technology and machines is always something bad. It's a kind of dystopia. It was a huge theme in the 80s. So
yeah.
This...
Yeah.
Oh my God, we lose our responsibility to give it up to machines. This is really dangerous.
Yeah.
But would you really say that cities are that mad and nasty and...
Mm-hmm.
And
pretty much, yeah. I love to go to cities and then I love to leave them again. A city is a machine, you know, it's a machine. It's a working machine that sustains the system we have and the possibilities we have, but yeah, I think it's a mad way to live. I think, yeah, it is insane. You see the tensions, you see the... Of course, it's very idealistic to look at, to try and think of any other way, and I don't think there is an ideal way. But for me personally, it's not what I... or where. I mean, I was born in London, and... In a terrace house, regular house, and then 10 meters away, IBM built their London machine, their offices, you know, growing up with that outside your bedroom window, and yeah, it's very oppressive. But of course, everybody's different, huh? I mean, some people love urban life and urban living, and I like to take things from it, and I like to use it, but I would never want to live in it again. It drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but in cities you also have, it's more tolerant, it's more free, it's there's more
tolerance.
Culture, there's multiculti, more different people, and on the rural side you have maybe conservative or nationalist tendencies.
I don't think you can divide it that easily. I mean, the thing is, people are prejudiced anyway. Whether everybody hates somebody, we all have prejudice. You know, whether we're a country farmer or whether we're a commune in the middle of wherever. You know, everybody has their prejudices. Again, I understand what you mean, but there's this big debate going on now, isn't there, of multiculturalism, of all these things. Does it work? Does it work? Does it not work? Do people tolerate? I have to say, coming from London, living in London, for me, I feel about that it doesn't belong to anyone. No, if you speak, you take a massive, and you've got every nationality, every religion, race, creed, everything in London. And if you take someone from that, they'll say, you know, are you a Londoner? Are you British? No, I'm Irish. Or, okay, are you a London? No, I'm an African. Or, no. So there's not this, you talk about this thing of multicultural and belonging and everybody belonging, but I see it in London that everybody has their pockets, you know, there. And of course, many people would love it not to be like that. But, yeah, and especially I think in the last 10, 20, there's this huge separation going on between people. I mean, I remember really back in the 80s, again, 70s, from the punk and new wave thing, you would have these wonderful evenings of concerts with reggae bands, punk bands, every kind of crazy thing all together and everyone having a great time. And then the world shifted in some way, and now I don't feel this integration. I would love to, but I don't feel it anymore.
You mean that people do not identify with, for example, London, or this
new
community?
They say, you know, people don't want the this isn't, nothing's my responsibility. And I try and talk about that a little bit in Full Moon. It's like, you know, are you proud of this? Would you like to make this area more beautiful? Would you? It's not mine. I'm not interested. I don't care. As long as I've got what I want, or I identify with who I am, I don't really care about other people or different people. So this thing of the city being more tolerant, it's more anonymous, I think, which is very different from being tolerant.
Can also be a good point to be anonymous.
Sure, of course. But and it depends what you want, what you're after. And like I say, for me, what I would love to do, what I try to do with my music is bring people together. But of course, if you want to be anonymous and lost and separate and away, then that's okay too. But it's not really for me. Yeah.
At least you need nice neighbours if you live
close. But I mean, I think that's the thing. Again, that's talking earlier, you know, people living in apartment blocks with walls like paper, you know, and noise and hassling and petty irritations, you know, that the city breeds that. You know, it really, it's like rats. We live like rats in cities, you know. And again, if you're into that, it's okay. But and of course, if you have the money and the wealth to live in a very privileged part, it's wonderful. There's nowhere more wonderful than really central London, I think. But London is this huge monster that just spreads out, and then it's a very different way of life, you know, for people.
You like to sing about darkness, disappointment, alienation. Nevertheless, you would describe yourself as a positive thinking woman, would you?
You have to be. I mean, of course, I have my periods of very dark moods and thinking, but yeah, what's the point to wake up in the morning otherwise if you can't look for something positive? Or
is this a compensation? Compensate bad feelings and bad experiences.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very rare, I think, to listen to music or read literature or poetry that's happy. I mean, of course there's happy stuff, but I don't know if it's particularly great. I think the best, the most interesting music or art is comes from a dark place often in people, because when you're happy, you're living it, you're experiencing it, you're doing it, whatever it is that makes you happy. And I think people tend, of course, I mean, there's great happy music too, but I mean, I think people tend to use music and creative arts to channel, yeah, more negative things, because it's very difficult to live with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why, where the dark parts come from.
Maybe darkness is a deeper form of happiness in a very romantic
way. Oh, it sounds
way.
Like a Russian friend of mine. He says that. He says about melancholy being the most wonderful positive emotion, and I agree with him in a way.
You do or you do not?
I do. I mean, the autumn time, everyone calls it Herbst, everyone calls it a very melancholy, but it's the most beautiful, most vibrant time of year, the most what's the word I'm looking for?
Crying is more intense than laughing.
I don't think so. It's different. But every emotion has its value, whether it's melancholy or happiness or and humor. I mean, humor, comedy. I think, again, if you look at culture, comedy and humor are looked upon as a little bit low down and not very smart. But irony are essential for people. I mean, the absurdity of so much of our life is so strong that if you don't make humor of it or you don't laugh at it, yeah, you would cry or die or one of the others,
Mm-hmm.
So humor and laughter and comedy are very important as well.
Do we have to quit?
No, it's just Jeff being he's probably after a bar of chocolate or something. Oh no, it's okay.
And this other main topic, this love thing, it's not very often used in your music. You had this one album, To Love and Be Loved, and it's said to be the first album or the only album what is only about this topic or in a very special way.
It's in everywhere in everything, but not really. How can I put it? Yeah. It's when people
not
say
that concrete.
Yeah, and when people say, "Oh, what is this song about?" Well, actually, it's a collection of maybe four or five different ideas, and then things taken from here, from there, and mixed together. So, yeah, love, communication—they're all in there. But yeah, in a kind of floating way, I guess.
Can there be a happy end in love things?
In love things?
Or in your songs and love things?
Yeah. I mean, again, the thing with love and relationships, again, society has its categories and its perceptions of, right, this is how society works and this is how love works and emotions work and relationships work. But it isn't. They aren't like that, I mean, you see it from the number of separations, divorces, problems people have in relationships. I think the pressure on people to conform to this, one-to-one relationship or marriage or whatever you want to call it, it's a lovely idea, a very romantic idea, and you can see why society would like it to be, but it's not. I don't think humans are really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of humans aren't really like that.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Just an ideal.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Always looking for it.
Yeah.
Again and again.
Yeah.
And
again. Yeah.
Hey, something about your poetry work, your book. You edited some years ago. It was in 2004, I think.
Yeah, the Notes Taken, Traces Left.
Yes.
It was really.
Would you describe yourself more than a musician or poet or both? Or
Well, obviously, I mean, I write.
One of the most important things.
For me, yeah, of course. But music is such a major part of my life too that I can't really live without the two of them. You know, I need both of them. But yes, of course, being the writer of the lyrics, that's the main thing for me. And the book was really, yeah, a thank you in a way to the German-speaking audience because, yeah, over so many years they've been so supportive. I mean, I guess it could have been done maybe a little better and maybe in the future I'll look at it again and try and do it again and maybe work on the translations with people in a different way. But at the time it was, you know, something I really wanted to give to the German speaking.
You did it for the German public.
Yeah, yeah. It's English texts with German translations side by side. So.
And you once said that you love German culture.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get this right. What is the special thing on German culture? Or is it similar to your culture?
No, I just think the influence is so strong of Germany culturally in science, philosophy, music. It's hugely influential, you know, in every area, and yeah, I think
it's the German Leitkultur. You know this word?
Leitkultur. What's that, Jeff?
It's a very negative
word. The
Leitkultur.
Leitkultur.
Straight line.
Oh,
and
the straight.
Guiding culture. It's a very negative.
Well, when you come from the UK, where nobody really gives a about anything. I very much enjoy to be in a country where people seem to live in a social way, where they don't just go, this is for me, you know? Coming from the UK, I really feel that very strongly, that there's a much more cohesive, however fragile it might be, I feel there's a very strong cohesive social order in Germany. Maybe it's wrong, maybe it is negative, but I don't see it as negative, really. I mean, like I say, when you come from London and people step over people falling down in the street or whatever, it's, yeah. For me, it's a positive thing over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like in Scandinavia, maybe.